and years old. I've been living in Corpus Christi since 1935. And before that, I lived in San Antonio from 1920 on up to 1935. However, I used to come to Corpus Christi on fishing trips in the late 20s. In Corpus Christi, I have seen many changes made here. By myself, I've always been in the food business, from one phase to the other, starting out as a busboy, then fry cook, then chef cook, then manager. Then finally got in business for myself. I've been in business for myself in the restaurant business for the past 40 years. I have a retired out of the restaurant business, and now I'm a meat salesman for a local meat company. Now, I'm being interviewed here by a young student from A&I College, and he has some questions he wants to ask me about the past, some of the highlights and what's happened during my time for the last 40, 50 years. So I'll let George ask the student ask the question, and then I'll try to answer it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Green. I think, first of all, we should cover just the general economic base of San Antonio when you moved there, say, about 1920. And, was it more related to industry or agriculture?
Well, I couldn't tell you a great deal about it, George. The only thing I know is I was making more money than I'd ever made before. I was working steady. I was working at a place called French's Black Cat Restaurant. I stayed open 24 hours, and my regular shift was 12 hours a day, so I didn't have a lot of time to speculate with politics or anything. I was really young to know too much about industry. But I did notice a lot of changes from time to time. I noticed a lot of automobiles more and more every year. The roads kept getting better and better. And but as far as industry, San Antonio's always been a pretty prosperous town on account of its government payroll up there.
I see.
So when I came to Corpus Christi, 1935, things weren't too good around here. Conditions were pretty, everybody was pretty much on the poor side. Just by getting along. And shortly before I came down here, all the banks everywhere were closing down. Everybody was afraid to put their money in the banks. And some of the banks that did remain open, they put on display of large sums of money to try to convince the people that they had plenty of money, that they weren't in danger. And when I came to Corpus Christi, I found conditions were beginning to move up a little bit better. People were making a little more money. But it was still, conditions were still pretty poorly.
Okay, let's get into these depression years, while you were actually in San Antonio. Just how hard were they for you and your friends and others in that area? I mean, just how hard did they hit you?
It was pretty hard, especially on union workers. I know union carpenters, a lot of them refused for a long time to work for a dollar a day. But when their family got hungry and they had nothing else to turn to and everything, well, a lot of them forgot about the union, went ahead and worked on any job they get, as long as they'd pay a dollar or something so they could bring home some groceries.
Yeah, I can see that.
After Roosevelt was elected, and he had a lot of projects going, and you'd see different new enterprises or new some of his new deals coming into force all the time, and you see a lot of people building sidewalks. They call it WPA workers, and Roosevelt was that was one of his new deals, just to put people to work. In fact, he had some people, they were more or less just digging holes to fill them up, but he had them on the payroll.
Right.
Anything to make a dollar so they could buy some groceries. But back in those days, for a dollar, you could buy a lot of groceries, probably more than you can buy now for five or six. What else you have in mind, George? Is that?
Well, why don't we switch over to a little bit more of a lighter side of life back then? What were the celebrations like? You know, how often were they held? And, you know, what were the general nature of?
Well, in San Antonio, they was a big deal every year, what they call the Battle of the Flowers. But I was always so busy at work, and I didn't have much time to participate in it. I really don't know what the meaning of the Battle of Flowers is, but I know that people came here from all over the country, and they had canoes running up and down the river, and you could buy rides, and they had fancy floats and everything, and they were decorated with all kinds of flowers and everything. It was real colorful. And the biggest celebration happened during my time as far as hero celebration was when Lindbergh made his successful flight. And he was the hero of all times, I think. Far back as I can remember.
Okay, was religion tied into the most of these festivals or some of these festivals that you could see? I mean, it's a pretty, you know, well, Catholic town. Did you see much of
it? Well, seeing me, like almost everybody was Catholics in San Antonio at that time. However, there were quite a few Protestants too, but Don, the Catholic. But they all got along good together, and I never heard anyone resenting another church or religion or anything. Everybody got along just fine. Didn't have any problems.
And the church with the politics, how is that lined up? I mean, the church, did the Catholic Church more or less run the community?
Well, practically every public official was a Catholic, best I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
But they seemed to be doing a good job of it. No one objected to it being that way. I never heard any objections.
Okay, during this period between 1920 and 1930, there were some strides starting to be made in medicine, and I was wondering, I wanted to ask you if, you know, just what you knew or what you heard of medicine during this period, you know, any advancements and what area were these advancements made in?
Well, I worked at drugstores some when I was a youngster, and back in the 20s and early 30s, if anyone who worked at a drugstore, if he could read a prescription, it was all right for him to fill it, and it was not against the law. As long as you had one registered pharmacist's certificate hanging on the in the prescription room, well, anyone could fill prescriptions under that one certificate.
Well, see, how about any of the new breakthroughs? I mean,
no big breakthroughs that I can recall until they have found a cure for polio, and that's just been, well, it seems to me like it's been very long, but maybe 15 years ago or 20.
So then you'd be in San Antonio, there were plenty of really big breakthroughs, but how about epidemics? Did y'all have any see there, you know, through the guys?
No, I don't recall any epidemics of anything. When I was a youngster, right after World War I, we had that influenza epidemic, and it seemed to almost wipe everybody out. I remember when I was a little kid, I could look out the window and I could see them taking bodies out from all around and across the street, next door, everywhere.
Excuse me, about what year was that?
Oh,
that
was 1918, something like that. And like it was during the war and right after. But as far as any breakthrough on any cures or anything, I don't recall any up until polio and when penicillin, after World War II, and penicillin seemed to be a cure for practically everything, especially pneumonia.
Oh, you mentioned some advancements in roads. How about other forms of transportation? How about the railroad, say?
Yes, we used to have good railroad connection into Corpus when I first came down here. A lot of people rode the train. But later on, as the highways got better and then they got better buses. In fact, I don't know if they had any buses when I first came here or not, but anyway, it seemed the buses taking over what the railroads were doing, and they just finally quit having a passenger train here.
So how they more or less overran the railroad?
As they improved their highways and get better buses, and more people had automobiles, and everybody just traveled by the highways.
Okay, how about in the area of crime and law enforcement of your day? Pre-30 days. What was things like back there?
Well, we had very little crime in my neighborhood and around where I live now. San Antonio was always known for trouble on the west side. If you went over there, you could get in any kind of trouble you wanted to. But it was a place that would have been off limits to anyone like the sailors or soldiers or military personnel. But if you want to be brave and go there, you could have a lot of excitement, but you were over at your own risk. But as far as racial problems, we didn't have any. And no uprisings or nothing. Everybody got along fine. You could avoid trouble anytime you wanted to. You just had to stay out of the trouble areas, you know, where everything was kind of speeded up for entertainment and stuff.
Right. What about legends, legends of gangsters, say, during this period?
Back in the 20s and early 30s, you had like headlines almost every day about gangsters like Al Capone and his gang and John Dillinger. He carried headlines for a long time, and there's been a lot of headlines and gangsters and everything. Made names for themselves for a short while, but they soon faded out.
It never really affect the San Antonio area.
No,
I'm the South Texas area.
I really never encountered any of it, and don't know of anything that happened that was considered bad anywhere where I live.
What I'm talking about is mainly just overall violence of any type. I mean, you never really ran across in your earlier years in South Texas.
No.
Well, how about the laws on drinking, then prohibition?
Well, yeah, prohibition. I understand whiskey was pretty high, but if anyone wanted it, they could always call their bootlegger. Get what they wanted if they could afford to buy it. I think whiskey was plentiful for those who had the money and wanted to buy it. But they couldn't be sure of the effects of it. Now, a lot of people didn't have the knowledge to mix with whiskey, and there were a lot of bad effects from some of it. Some people used to get blind, some of them used to get crippled up. I guess maybe some of them died from drinking the wrong thing or the bad whiskey. But after Roosevelt repealed probation and everything, that cut out the bootlegging, then they had good whiskey and beer on the market then.
Okay, let's move into another area.
Okay.
It seems to fascinate us younger students about the days back then. How about storms, major catastrophes? I mean, Did you encounter any while you were living in South Texas?
Well, one of them, bad storm, I was living in San Antonio at the time, but I was in Corpus on a fishing trip. I was out at Camp Oso, where the naval base is at the present time. At a place I really called Camp Oso, had a restaurant and an IGA store and a filling station and tourist cabins and stuff. And that was the kind of the headquarters for fishermen hunters out there. And I was out there one night when a storm came in and the wind got up 90 miles an hour. And it washed out a bridge between Camp Oso and Corpus. And when I was coming back the next day, they had put my boat, put my car aboard some skiffs to get it around where we get it back on land again, get back into Corpus. And the wind was pretty strong. They had just put on some fresh topping on Ocean Drive. It was the first time that they had put any hard topping on Ocean Drive. It was just gravel before that. And they had just got through putting all this new hard topping on it. And after the storm, the next day, you'd find about 3/4 of it flipped off, completely off the road. Wind would get under it, flip some of it to the left, some of it to the right, and then you'd have maybe a block of pavement, and then you'd run across some rough roads. But didn't do any real serious damage, as far as I remember.
Not in Corpus area?
No.
Well, how about San Antonio? I mean, you know, they have flooding, you know, year flooding even today, you know. Well, did you have much flooding back there in the days?
No, not really, but in 1945, I just got out of the service and I bought my first new car. And I went to put a few miles on it, and I drove up to San Antonio to spend the night. And so I had to spend the night in the wrong location. It was in an area that was flooded during the night. And they had rescue workers there everywhere to get the people out of the tourist boats and places. And I remember the rescue workers came and got my family and myself and guided us over to Dairyland Creamery. It was a great big creamery on Josephine Street or someplace. And we spent the rest of the night over there and part of the next day till the flood finally went down. I don't recall anyone getting drowned in the flood, but that's the only flood I've been in.
Well, so, Truman Brother was a really major catastrophes in the San Antonio area, or a lot about the area, you know.
Nothing real serious that I can recall.
Okay, how about, I went into race relations in San Antonio. You mentioned that they were pretty calm, I mean, but... And how about jobs? I mean, was there really very much open discrimination that you noticed, that was noticeable?
No, the only thing about it is, I noticed there was a lot of work that people would impose on the Mexican people, well, colored people the same way, as far as paying them a decent salary. Instead of paying them for what they did, they'd just pay them just as low as they could get by with, you know. Maybe pay a guy $1 to dig up all your flower beds and cut your grass. Maybe he'd work about 12, 15 hours to get it done. And you try to square off with him for $1 or either give him some old clothes or something to compensate him.
And so there was some exploitation of some of the races back then.
The uneducated poor Mexicans and colored people, they had it rougher than anybody. The Mexican people that were educated and had an opportunity at all, well, they held down pretty responsible jobs, but that's still back in the Depression, I'm thinking about it, and even the good jobs didn't pay too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just the uneducated that you get there.
That's right.
Well, part of it. But do you remember any actual periods of tension, between the racial groups and the actual coming together?
No, not really.
Riots or anything, before the 30s?
No.
So.
It might have happened in some parts of the country. I wasn't familiar with it or something, but
no, just
nothing in
another man in this area?
No, nothing, no. I can recall.
You made him pretty safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He always was safe to go anywhere, anytime.
Okay, I'd like to maybe take a look at your present views now of what the politics were like back then in the pre-30 era. You know, compared to today's politics, I mean, would you consider one more honest than the other? One more beneficial to the public than the other?
I've always heard all politicians were crooks, but I never take it literally. But according to the latest reports, it may be possible that there is a great percentage of other crooks, but I'm sure we still have a lot of good, honest men up in Washington, or the country wouldn't hold together like it does.
Well, back then, between 1920 and 30, when you were in San Antonio, were there any scandals, any open scandals?
No, I can't recall any.
Yeah. I guess something I'd want to ask you would be, what would everybody, just do for more or less enjoyment in those days? Just pure fun.
Well, I'll tell you, people were, they had more time to visit back in those days because they didn't have TVs. In my earlier life, they didn't even have radios, just very few people had radios. Very few people could afford them. And they had more time to visit and had more social life. People were closer together. They helped each other more. They were concerned about their neighbors. And one of them got sick or something, well, all the other neighbors pitched in. And as soon as they got through their bad times and helped them all they could. But today, everybody's so busy, you hate to try to visit anybody because you're afraid you'll interfere with their TV program or afraid your bills and everything is so high now that practically everyone in the family has to work in order to make ends meet, and you just don't like to call on anybody unexpectedly unless you give them notice ahead of time, because you don't want to interfere with their plans. They either got to go to work or they got to other things they have to tend to in a hurry. Life is just everything in general just speeded up about 10 times its pace since I can remember back in the 20s.
Well, then, going back to the Depression times, maybe not Depression, but just, some more of those hard times, were people more apt to, give each other a helping hand?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. People were real happy.
Yeah, say the people would do the, food,
Oh yeah, all work good together, and we didn't embarrass anybody to ask if they'd like to have one of your old suits or something you like to own or something. Well, they'd just be glad to get it. No one resented the, you wouldn't hurt your feelings to offer them something, and they certainly didn't hurt my feelings if they offered me anything. I find people with less money and are more happier people. It seems like the more money they get, the more restless they get, and too tied up with too many different things. They don't live a simple life anymore. They're geared up to a higher pace. I like back in the old days, you didn't have much, but you had time to visit and socialize with your friends and neighbors, and this day and time, it's just a different situation.
I think we've more or less covered most of the areas that I was being covering there. Do you have any closing remarks you might want to?
No, except say I have seven children, and six of them already married and left home, and all doing fine. None of my children ever got into trouble. Only have one daughter at home now, and she's graduating this year, so she seems to be doing real well too. So I'm real happy about my family and about everything else in general. Well, I hope I covered something that was some help to you. I'm sorry I can't just offhand cover more interesting areas for you.
Oh, well, there is quite a bit of material here that is interesting. This is still about medicine. I'd like to, talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I wish I knew more about medicine, George. When I was a youngster, I remember that the doctor used to always bring his own medicine kit along and fill his own prescription right on the scene. You didn't go to no drugstore and get it. However, you didn't have any capsules back in those days either, so you took your quinine and the other medicine just best you knew how. We'd just wrap it up in little pieces of paper for you and tell you to take so many of them. I like the modern type medicine. They seem to try to make it taste good or no taste at all.
Well, there's something else I wanted to ask you. Is it more than anything else, can you think just right offhand of what you miss from the old days, the pre-30s from today? I mean, if you're just looking back, just think of it. What do you really miss more than anything else compared to nowadays?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, George, because I've always been pretty much of a hard worker and didn't have much time for taking on different sports and things. I've always had to play some kind of indoor game. Been in the food business. I'm a chess player. I love to play chess. And that's just about the extent of my recreation. I enjoy going fishing once in a while with the boys, but I'm not tied in with golfing or anything. I've golfed some, but very little. But I don't have any real expensive habits.
Do you actually miss the friendliness of the more closeness of families from back then? I mean, I imagine you do.
Some
folks do.
Yeah, you do. But you kind of go into a different life about every 10 years, and you get used to the things and that are happening during that time, and you really get too busy to look back much. Especially if you're still working like I am. Maybe when I retire, so I think I'll start looking back and thinking over some of the good old days that I call good old days when I was a youngster. And that's how I always felt good and always ready to go. Enjoyed going swimming all day.
Well, maybe I can come back and take another interview then.
Okay, George.
We sure will enjoy it, and I sure appreciate you having me on this interview.
Glad you came by, George. I hope it'll be some benefit to you.
Thank you.